Let's just pray once again. Father, as we come and look for your truth and listen for your word, we pray that you would speak it loudly to get past our deafness. Father, open our ears, open our hearts and our eyes to see what you have to speak to us. And burn it into our hearts and our minds that we would be changed by your truth. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've been talking already about the journey that we are taking together through the Bible this year with the 100 plan. Incidentally, let me just mention, if anyone hasn't got one of the books yet and you meant to bring some money and you forgot the money today, just take a book and you can pay next week. That's fine. But we're keen to get people going on this as soon as possible. We did start this week, but you can very easily catch up. So this week's readings are numbers 3 and 4. The readings are always printed on the back of the service sheets, just so you know where we are. But as part of that journey through the Bible together, we've got an intermittent sermon series running through this year that we'll keep coming back to. We're taking a look at this phenomenally successful book, trying to work out what all the fuss is about. Why is it that people have such strong opinions about this? Why do we believe it's so important? What are we supposed to do with it? And 2 weeks ago, we learned a verse from 2 Timothy that said, and you can say it with me if you can, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You still don't know it, do you? And we looked at some of the ways in which this book is really powerful for feeding us, for correcting us, for growing us, even for saving us. Not because it's some sort of magic, but because this is the Word of God. And then last week, we thought about how God had given us a whole bunch of tools to deal with life. And we need to learn to use how to use the right tool for the right job. If you're a carpenter, you'll need a hammer and a saw and a spirit level, all really important tools. But you're not going to use a hammer to cut wood. And you're not going to use a saw to get your levels right. You need the right tool for the right job. They're all important. When it comes to life, prayer is one of the most important tools that God has given us. The church, this group of believers coming together to be Christ's body in a particular place, it is an essential part of our toolkit. And there are lots of other tools that we could think of. But in John chapter 8, Jesus has been talking to a whole group of Jews. There are Pharisees there. There are leaders of the Jews, scribes, ordinary Jews. And he's been talking about who he is. He's been defending his identity, predicting his death, and explaining that the result is going to be resurrection. And a small group of the people listening to him believe him. They believe that he is the Messiah. And Jesus leans into this group and gives them the verse that we learned last Sunday, and which I know you've all been muttering to yourself through the week as you butter your toast or drive to work or wait for the bath to run, haven't you? Let's say it together. If you abide in my word, you will be my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Very good. Thank you, Margaret. In other words, he has been saying to this group of people who believe in him, if you want to be my disciples, and if you want to be set free from the stuff that is mucking up your life, here's what you need to do. And they all lean in and start taking notes. Here is a tool I'm giving you for that job. Abide in my word. Your Bible might say, remain in my word. Hold to my teaching. Saturate your minds with God's word. Why? because then you'll know the truth. And the truth will set you free. The truth, not our commitment. The truth, not our dedication. The truth, not your church attendance. The truth, not even your prayer life. The truth has the power to set you free. But that requires that you know the truth. The Apostle Paul says it like this: you need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, this is something that all of us can do. God hasn't given us a burden that is too hard to manage. He says, you want to be free? Work with me on this. Renew your mind with the truth to replace the lies that you've been taught. And in time, your life will be transformed. Now, this morning, I'm going to give you a whole quiver full of arrows, an arsenal full of truth that will allow you to tackle issues that we all face in our lives. Have you all got one of these sheets? If you haven't, it's going to be hard for you to follow. This is not the complete list, but if we work through the complete list, we'll be here until 2015. So we'll work with these ones. We won't even cover all of these today. But let's have a look at some of these. Just look at the one at the top left there. Set your minds on thing above. This is about our thought lives. There is a lie that we have learned about our thought lives. Behind every temptation, behind every sin, there is a lie. And the lie about our thought life is this: I can't help what I think about. Thoughts just pop in there. I just can't help it. Listen, here's the truth. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So guys, when you see that girl walking down the corridor in the short skirt and the sexy blouse and whatever, and you've got a choice. You can start thinking all sorts of thoughts, or you can think, I'm going to set my mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. By the time you've said that, she's down the corridor. No, I'm joking. But this is the truth. Maybe you're mad with someone, and you just love to sit and be mad at them. And you're imagining all sorts of conversations that you have with them where you're always right and they always end up looking stupid. And your mind, your thoughts go in all sorts of directions. And you need to have an "it is written" ready and waiting there about your thought life. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Let's look at another one. Sin. Next one along. The lie behind sin is this: there is no consequence to sin. It's just a little thing. Doesn't really matter. Nobody's going to mind. Nobody's going to notice. Nobody's going to be affected. It's the truth. After desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Where there is a sin, there is always a death. Some people have killed a marriage. Some people have alienated parents or children or friends. You know, those relationships have been killed because there is always a death with sin. Some of you have killed your finances because of sin. You might have killed your reputation because of sin. There's always a death. It might be slow, might be almost imperceptible, but there is always a death. Might be the death of your self-esteem. Might be your ability to relate to other people. So when you or I are tempted to think, this isn't a big deal, do not be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. After desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Wouldn't it be great if that's what popped into our minds? That is a truth that will set you free. That'll stop in a second, sorry. Honesty, next one along. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. Why do we lie? The reason we lie is that we think we will look better. We think that we're making progress somewhere. And if we lie, that'll lead us on to where we need to be. And this verse says, no, don't lie, because that is working against what God is doing in you. God is working to transform you. And your lies are working against that. Oh, I never thought about it like that before. Well, that's the power of this. Forgiveness. This is, what's this one? Oh, it's, yeah, sorry, top right corner. Be kind and compassionate to one another. What's the lie about forgiveness? We don't forgive because we don't think we can, or because we think that the other person doesn't deserve it. We're worried that we're going to be letting them off the hook, that if we forgive them, we're saying, it's all right, you can come back and do it to me again. We feel we need to punish people. Otherwise, it's saying, it's okay. But here's the truth. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. Do you know why we forgive? We forgive because we have been forgiven. So we follow the example of Christ, who loved us and gave himself up for us. If you have a problem with forgiving, if those thoughts are going round and around in your mind, saying, I just can't forgive, you are being controlled by things that just aren't true. Because you can forgive, and you ought to forgive, because you are a forgiven person. Pride about, the lie about pride is this. We think we're something. We really think we're something. Maybe other people are something too, but they're not quite as something as I'm something. I wrote that. I did that. Can I just say that was my idea? Now, I'm responsible for that. Our pride leads us on. A lot of our character issues are tied up in our pride. We can't be wrong. So we end up lying to protect our pride. It gets into a real mess. Here's the word of truth about pride. Let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches. But let the one who boasts boast about this, that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord, who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. In other words, if I'm going to boast, if I'm going to be proud about something, if I'm going to tie my self-esteem to something, it's going to be the fact that I know my Heavenly Father. Change. This is moving back one. The lie behind change is, I can't do it. I can't change. Because my mum always did it that way, or my dad always did it that way. And their mum or dad always did it that way. And so on. This is the ultimate, it's I been. I can't change. It's in my genes. Where's the truth? Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Did you know that your heritage is a pattern of this world? Just because your mother did it or your father did it doesn't mean that you have to conform to that. Be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. So when that tape starts playing around again, I can't change, you go, no, I'm going to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. Another one, on to the end of that line. Anger and revenge. This is the same as with forgiveness in terms of the lie. I should be angry because they deserve it. They deserve my revenge. Anger is at the root of all sorts of character issues. I'm not talking about righteous anger on God's behalf here. I'm talking about our anger. This can really mess us up. Here is the truth. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Our anger never accomplishes God's will for us or for anyone else. What it does is work against God's will in our lives. Yeah, you don't know what happened. Well, okay, true. And they may have been completely wrong. But your anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Speech. Our speech. Here's the lie. I can't help what I say. I see him. I hear her. This happens. That person walks in the door. And the words just tumble out my mouth. I can't do anything about it. Ephesians 4, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Imagine a family or a business or a church or a community where that is what's happening, where people are building one another up with their words. Now look, all these verses I'm giving you here, this might sound a bit like the list you find in the front of some Bibles, where it says, where to find help when. Well, it is similar to that, but the point here is not that you store this sheet away, and then when something happens, you go home that night and dig out the sheet and look at it. It's too late then. The point is, you've got to know these, just as Jesus knew these. So that they're right at the tip of your mouth, ready to go as soon as you need them at the moment's notice. They've got to be there to leap into your mind when you need them. Do you get it? Authority. Let's have a look at another one. Authority. Here's the lie about authority. If I don't agree with a rule, I don't have to keep it. Every day I used to drive along the motorway to Cumminault, where I worked. And there were roadworks there for a long, long time. And the speed limit in those works was reduced to 40. Now, quite often, either it was really early in the morning or they'd finished work on a section, but there were no diggers, there were no bumps, no contraflows, no cones getting in the way, hardly any other traffic. And it was still 40 miles an hour. It was so annoying, absolutely ridiculous. And the lie with authority that I and I'm sure you struggle with too, is if I don't agree with the rule, I don't have to keep it. If the rule gets in my way, I don't have to keep it. If the rule is made by someone I don't like, I don't have to keep it. Here's the truth. There is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. In other words, God put the stupid 40 mile an hour sign there. That's what it means. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. Why do we need to keep the law? Because God is behind the law. Do you know who wrote this? This was written by a guy who was completely under the thumb of Rome. And the Christians are saying to him, do we need to obey these stupid Romans? Paul says, yeah, because God let Rome be Rome. He had a purpose. And to obey the Roman law is to obey God. And eventually Christianity took over Rome, didn't it? Now, this isn't about obeying the state over God. This is about not obeying the state just because I don't want to. Yeah? Authority. Another one, selfishness. Selfishness. So the lie here is my thing is more important than your thing. My deal, whatever it is more important than your deal. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. That's the truth. What this means practically is this, that you need to imagine someone who you think really is more important than you, and put their face on the faces of each member of your family or your staff or whoever it is. If for example, if Bill Hybels came to my house, everything would change. Bill Hybels, American preacher, I have a huge amount of respect for him. I've read his books and I listened to his sermon. He's a very, very powerful preacher. If he came to my house, everything would change. You know, my schedule would change, meals would change, everything. Should I treat my wife or my children more, less importantly, with less honor than a man I've never even met? Of course not. That doesn't mean that your deal isn't important. It just means that you're going to treat other people as if their deal, as if their thing was more important. You put others ahead of yourself. It sounds radical, doesn't it? Well, because it is. This is what Jesus taught, and what Jesus taught was totally radical. But it's only radical because we've been taught to believe the lie as we grew up. Materialism. How many more have we got? Just one more that we'll do today. Materialism. This verse, keep falsehood and lies far from me. This is a fabulous verse. The lie about materialism is this. As soon as I get that rise, as soon as I get that new job, as soon as I get that new car, as soon as I pay off the mortgage, then I'll have peace. Then I'll be content. Then everything will be okay. It's a lie. This is a wonderful verse. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. What if we were praying this every day? What a powerful verse. Give me as much as I can handle and no more. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? I don't need God. I've got a boat. I've got three cars. Not too rich, not too poor. Let me throw in an aside here. If this verse scares you, it's because you have not yet fully surrendered your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And you're still praying, God, here's what I'm going to do, and I'd love you to bless it. But if you're not going to bless it, then just stand back. If you're going to interfere, I'd rather you interfere with someone else. And if there's trouble, I will call. Surrender your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Now, that's a powerful verse. There is more on these cards that we haven't got time to explore today. And the Bible is full of this stuff. What we need to do is commit these things to memory. Now, I'm not going to suggest you learn every one of these this week. Maybe you could take two of these and put them on your car dashboard or on your fridge or somewhere where you are going to get, where you're going to see them all the time this week and really get familiar with them. But it's not enough to just hear a message about these things. You need to totally integrate these truths with your life, into your thinking, so that they're right there when you need them. I just want to mention four ways in which you can use these truths to make it even easier. First one is this: say them out loud. Once you've learned them, say them out loud. It might be under your breath, but you need to actually speak these out. Now, I can't explain this. This isn't magic, but there is something powerful about speaking out God's word. So when you're confronted with something, you know, you just maybe even under your breath, you just speak out those truths. Second one, personalize it. Put your name or a personal pronoun into these. I should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. You know, whatever the verse is, make it personal to you. Third one, pray the truth. Pray the truth. These are a great way to remind yourselves of the truth as you come to God. It's like you're saying to God, look, God, I'm serious about this. Help me to walk with the wise and be wise. Lord, let no unwholesome word come out of my mouth. Whatever the verse is, pray it. Pray through these verses. And if you're a parent or a grandparent, maybe even a great-grandparent, then pray these over your children. Why? Because they will hear what you are praying. They will hear the word of God. And one day that truth that has been planted deep in them, in their hearts, will bear fruit. One more. Meditate on the truth. As you are brushing your teeth in the morning, as you drive to work, as you do the ironing, as you lay in bed last thing at night before you go off to sleep, meditate on these things. Say them over again in your minds. There are lots of ways to do this. Look, God is saying, can I make it any easier for you? Most of it, I mean, Linda brought up a whole box full of Bibles here. I would wager that is not unusual. Most of us have got, you know, 10 or a dozen of these things at home. And God is saying, you know, then your pastor came along and gave it to you on printed cards. How much easier can I make it for you? Listen, here's the deal. You've got to do this. You've got to do this. It's got to be the habit of a lifetime. You've got to be renewing your minds with God's truth. Because a renewed mind leads to a transformed life. Jesus said it like this: if you know the truth, you'll be set free. Let's pray together. Our Father, you have given us such a powerful tool to use to transform our lives. You've given us your truth. And we confess we do not really treat it with the seriousness that we need to. We want to really get to grips with this book. We want to know the truth. So Lord, as we try and approach this with discipline, would you help us? Would you give us discipline and commitment to learn your word so that we can use it and so that we can be set free? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.